here, guys. Whatever they go. There we go. Go ahead and work. And let's go quickly and look at some things. 1 Kings chapter 22. You know, when we come to church, we want to learn something from the book that we can apply to our lives even right away. 1 Kings chapter 22. I guess that sounds okay out here, getting used to that. 1 Kings 22. Two kings involved here. Ahab, the king of Israel, and Jehoshaphat. Would you remind yourself that Ahab has a woman, a wife, named who? Jezebel. Just remind yourself about that. And by the way, you won't find many young ladies named Jezebel. Is that right? Ahab, the king of Israel, and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. Look at verse 3. 1 Kings 22, 3, quickly. And the king of Israel, that's Ahab, whose wife's name, and by the way, the king of Israel's name is Ahab, but his wife's name is who? Jezebel. Don't forget that. And the king of Israel, Ahab there, said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, so he's speaking now to the leader of another country, the leader of, if you were the king of Judah, Will thou go with me to the battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, that's Ahab, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. He says, I'll go, but let's ask God what he thinks. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men. So Ahab gets his 400 guys in there and said to them, Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Watch verse 7. And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? Let me make a statement. When Jehoshaphat tells the king of Israel, let's talk to the Lord about this. Let's ask God. And the king of Israel, Ahab, calls his men in, his prophets, and they come in and say, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it. Jehoshaphat said, Wait a minute, something's not right here. Even though he's already kind of committed to go, even though he's weighing the whole thing out, something inside of Jehoshaphat said, Isn't there another prophet here besides? Isn't there another opinion that we can get here that we might inquire of him? Statement. There's influence going on here, but something triggers Jehoshaphat inside to say, Be careful, something's not right here. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, verse 8, There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But notice what he says, But I hate him. Ahab says, I don't like this guy, for he does not prophesy good concerning me. Wait a minute, let's stop right there. He says, I don't like him because he doesn't prophesy good concerning me. What he's saying is, I don't like him because he does not tell me what I like to hear. Let me make a statement right there. That ought to trigger something in our minds to say, Wait a minute, something's not right in this kingdom. It's not just influence going on here, it's manipulation. You say, I don't understand that. Hey, you know what? We don't call Micaiah up because we know the king doesn't want to hear what he has to say because he doesn't say what the king wants to hear. What's going on in this kingdom here is Jezebel and Ahab have manipulated everybody to think the way they think, to act the way they want them to act, to do what they want them to do, and it's all manipulated by peer pressure. There's a difference between influence and manipulation. There's a difference between counsel and manipulation. I can give Brother Pollock counsel. I say, well, here's what I see. But I'm not manipulating him. He can do whatever God shows him to do. Right. I can influence him, but not to manipulate him. Manipulation is this. Look up here. Me, the manipulator, tells the manipulatee, Brother Pollock, something, but I do it in such a way that I want him to understand it only from my viewpoint. So if he understands it from my viewpoint, then he'll do it my way, which benefits me. The manipulator always influences to manipulate in such a way that it benefits himself or herself. Are you with me? You're getting quiet. Have you ever been manipulated? The manipulator manipulates or influences the manipulatee, but it's not for their benefit. It's always, always, always done in such a way to benefit the manipulator. Okay, I got to stop right here. The message is going to get longer. Are you getting this? What would we call this? Somebody uses somebody else for their own benefit. That's what manipulation is. Would you agree with that statement? Someone makes someone else think about it in such a way that benefits them, even if they lie to them or half-truth them to make them understand it the way they see it. Stay with me now. Don't lose me. We all right? How do you know this? Watch what. I'm not reading anything in here. So what does the king of Israel do? He says, all right, go call Micaiah. Verse 13. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold now the words of the prophets, declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. Verse 13, that's manipulation. Manipulation says the messenger came and said, you're coming up to prophesy. All the other 400 prophets have declared this thing to be good. Everybody's in agreement. You come up and say the same thing. That's manipulation. Would you agree with that? You see, in this kingdom, with Ahab as king and Jezebel as the queen, everybody's afraid to say what they really think. You can't have a home that way. You can't have a business that way. And you certainly can't have a ministry in a church that way. It cannot be that way for it to grow. I don't want a bunch of men, leaders, with me that just constantly go like this. That won't help me to grow. I want them every once in a while to faithfully wound me. If I'm doing something wrong, I want them to say to me, Pastor, I don't agree with this. And here's why. Otherwise, I don't grow. Don't look at me that way. I want my wife to be able to come to me and say, honey, I don't like this about what you're going to do. And here's the reason why I don't like it. And I don't want her to fear me to come back on her and be the oppressor. See, because a manipulator manipulates in such a way, and the manipulatee, the one who's being influenced, is afraid to go against the manipulator, her, because of what the repercussions will be. Come on, look up here. We all right? My wife, if I've got her manipulated, she won't come to me with anything because she'll be afraid of what I will do to her, like cut her off, stop talking to her, and I will hurt her. So she'll just go like this all the time so she doesn't get involved with that oppression. That's not a marriage. That's not a marriage. That's not a friendship. Friends can wound each other. Friends can better each other. A church should not be manipulated. Come on. You say, let's go on a little further. All right, stay with me now. Boy, y'all quiet in here. Are you thinking? Come on, say something or it's going to get longer. I'm not even hungry right now. We can go a long time, all right? Stay with me. So he says, speak that which the king wants to hear. So you know what? The prophet comes up in verse 15 and he says, go and prosper. And the Lord shall deliver it in the hand of the king. You know what the king says, what Ahab says? And the king said it unto him in verse 16. How many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? So you know what he does? He says, all right, king, you're going to go out to battle and you're going to die. That's the truth. That's what's going to happen. Look at verse 18. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? He said, I told you. Why? Ahab was prone to evil. Is that right? God was getting ready to judge him. So what happens is if you understand the story here and go ahead into the storyline, notice what happens to the one who told the truth. Look at verse 26. And the king of Israel, Ahab, said, take Micaiah and carry him back unto Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison and feed him with the bread of affliction and with the water of affliction until I come in peace. Hey, if you're in a manipulative situation and you buck it just a little bit, you're in trouble. If you are working with a manipulator, whether it be a male or a female, and you buck it just a little bit, you're going to some kind of mental prison. You're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in the doghouse and everybody's going to know it. And the manipulator will begin to turn people against you. Are we all right? Isn't that what King Ahab does? And by the way, what happens in the story? The next thing you see is the manipulator is telling the manipulatee something. Look at verse 30. And the king of Israel, there's Ahab, said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and enter into the battle, but put thou on thy robes. Hey, I'm going to disguise myself. I'm not going to wear my kingly garments. But you, Jehoshaphat, you wear yours. And we'll all go to battle together. You dress like the king. You dress like the leader. And I'll disguise myself. Now, you know what the enemy said? The enemy, the Syrians there, they said, if you would, look at what it says. And verse 31, but the king of Syria commanded his 32 captains that had rule over his chariot, saying, fight neither with small nor great, save only with the king of Israel. And you know what happens? In verse 32, those captains, they see Jehoshaphat, the one who's been manipulated. And they see him in his kingly garment, and they say, surely it's the king of Israel. And they turned aside to fight against him. And Jehoshaphat cried out. Well, finally they realized what was going on, but verse 34, a certain man drew a bow at a venture. It was just a pot shot, so to speak. It was just somebody said, you know what, I better get rid of this arrow, I'll just let it go. And when he let it go at a venture, it right into the disguised manipulator. Why? Because the stone that's rolled will roll back again. Are we okay with this so far? Now, what is a manipulator? A manipulator is someone who influences somebody to see it a certain way, to twist it in a certain way that will benefit the him or the her that's a manipulator. Look back with me again. Look at 1 Kings chapter 21. Say amen or something so I know you're lying. 1 Kings 21. We're doing fine. 1 Kings 21. Watch. Let's go a little further. We're not done yet. By the way, we're going to get to this. Satan is the master manipulator. Would you agree with that statement? Oh, sure. He's in it for himself. 1 Kings 21. Watch now. Don't miss it. And by the way, you ought to read sometime and study in here and see what's going on. The Bible is just not a storyline to go, oh, that's a nice story. It's in there for our ensample. It's in there for our example, and it's current. 1 Kings 21. Watch. Here's the master manipulator at work as far as a human being that we know as a human being that's a female. Her name's Jezebel. We won't go into detail, but Ahab looks across one day and sees a vineyard. And he wants that vineyard in 1 Kings 21, verse 1, and it's Naboth's vineyard. And Ahab, the king, wanted that vineyard so much. So he goes to Naboth, who's the owner of the vineyard. And Naboth says, I can't give it to you. I can't sell it to you. It's my inheritance. It's been in the family a long time. I can't give you that vineyard, even though it's joined right up to your property. You know it's mine. It's part of my inheritance, and I can't give it to you. So, Jezebel comes along. When she comes along, she sees, verse 5, but Jezebel, his wife, came to him. Comes to Ahab and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, give me the vineyard for money. Or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? Aren't you in charge here? Arise and eat bread, and let thy heart be merry. I will give ye give thee the vineyard of Naboth. So what does she do? Verse 8, she starts manipulating. She starts weaving a different way, if you would, a deceitful way, a deceptive way, and she gets her cronies in there, if you would. She writes letters, and she says, hey, here's what I want you to do. I want you to set Naboth up like he's done something wrong, set him up on high, lie about him, bear false witness against him, and then we will stone him, and then we'll take care of everything from there. So those cronies with her, that's totally manipulated, that's totally a part of this thing, they do just what she says. They set Naboth up on high. They judge him. They condemn him. They stone him. And they send word back to Jezebel, the master manipulator, that Naboth is now stoned. And she turns and says, go get your vineyard. Look at verse 15. Stay with me. And it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel sent to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. You know what Ahab does? He goes over and he takes charge of that vineyard. But he doesn't know that he's just bought a cemetery plot. Look at 2 Kings 9 real quick. 2 Kings 9. We all right? The stone that's rolled will roll back again. A manipulator that manipulates to cause other people damage, it will come back on him and her sooner or later. We all right with that? 2 Kings chapter 9. 2 Kings chapter 9. Ahab, his son is now king, one of them. One of his sons is now king. He's called Joram or Jehoram. He is, if you would, the son of Jezebel. Look at verse 21, 2 Kings 9, 21. And Joram, that's Jehoram or Joram, he's called both names, said, make ready. And his chariot was made ready. And Joram, king of Israel, that's Ahab's son, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, went out each in his chariot, and they went out against Jehu, and look where they meet. And met him in the portion of who? Naboth the Jezreelite. And it came to pass when Joram, that's the son, saw Jehu, that he said, is it peace, Jehu? And he answered, what peace? So long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many. That would pretty well answer your question. You know what he says? There's no peace. Your mother's a witch and a whore. Now wait a minute, just read what it says. I'm just saying what the Bible says, is that right? Isn't that what it says? I would say those are fighting words, wouldn't you? And Joram turned his hands and fled and said, Ahaziah, there's treachery. And Jehu drew a bow with his full strength. Wait a minute. How does daddy die? Somebody drew a bow with a venture. Jehu's not doing this with a venture. He's aiming. And Jehu drew a bow with full strength and smote Jehoram, that is Joram, between his arms, and the arrow went out of his heart and sunk down in his chariot. Then said Jehu to Bidkar, his captain, take up and cast him, that's the son of Ahab, in the portion of the field of Naboth the Jezreelite. That same plot of land that he wanted so bad that he manipulated to get became his son's funeral plot. Isn't that just like God? Look at Genesis chapter 3. Don't we have a wonderful Bible? Come on, stay with me. Genesis chapter 3. It is satanic to manipulate someone with false truth, with half-truth, with lies and deception to get own gain. It is satanic to do that. Look up here. Ladies, it would be satanic to get a man to marry you through lying. It would be satanic for me as a pastor to get somebody to join our church through lying. It would be satanic for a man to get a woman to marry him through lying and cheating. Come on, is that right? Yes or no? It would be satanic for a business person to deceive a potential client, to get them as a client, to get their money for his own gain. That's manipulation. There's nothing wrong with true sales. There's nothing wrong with true courtship, and there's nothing wrong with truth in the ministry. But to lie and deceive is not what God wants. That does not build the covenant. That starts it off with false truth, and it's destined to failure. The stone that's rolled will roll back again. You say, who will roll it back? God made sure that Jehu, when he fired that arrow, it went right into that son of that wicked man and that wicked woman. Because somebody else died for a little plot of ground that he wanted. And it was his own inheritance. Genesis 3. In Genesis chapter 3, you see the little statement. And you've read it before, you've thought about it, you've looked at it before, and you've heard it before. In verse, let's go to chapter 2, it says this, verse 17. You know it. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eat of it, thou shalt surely die. Those are the words of God. Is that right? Chapter 3, verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Mark it down beside that statement. That's manipulation. That's a half-truth. And a half-truth is a lie. Half of what he said is true. She wasn't going to die like physically die just like that, but she was going to die because God said she was going to die. She was going to now spiritually be separated from God. Is that right? Did Satan understand all that? Absolutely. So he half-truths her. He deceives her. He manipulates her. But let me ask you a statement. A question. Is he using her? Is he using her? Is Satan using her for his own gain? Doesn't he want to be the Most High? Doesn't he want to be the Savior of the world? Isn't that part of the plan? So if he can get them to fall, now they need a Savior. And if he can get them turned against God, he can thwart God's plan, he thinks. This is manipulation. Would you agree with that? Hey, do we see him as a manipulator? Jesus fasts 40 days and 40 nights and comes out of the wilderness. The first thing he faces is Satan the manipulator. And he tries to manipulate Jesus, and he tries to get Jesus to sin, because if he can get Jesus to sin, like he got the first Adam to sin, then he can be possibly the Most High. Statement. He's already working on getting the first Adam to sin. Now, when Jesus comes out of the wilderness, he's trying to get the last Adam to sin. Because if he can get the last Adam to sin, then there's a good possibility he can be in charge. Are we all right with that? He's the master manipulator. He says this, all the kingdoms of this world, look at him, Jesus. You can have all those if you'll simply fall down and worship me. That's manipulation. He's trying to influence him to see things from his own way, so he worships him, but it's for his own good. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Amen. You know what he says? I know who you are. You don't remember. You were the anointed cherub that covered my throne a while back. I know who you are. He said, I didn't see that in there. It's not in there. You have to read a few scriptures to understand that. Hey, was he the master manipulator? He drew a third part of the stars out of heaven. And the stars are who? Say it. Angels. Is that right? The devil and his what? Angels. They were manipulated. They were lied to. They were deceived. And he's still out deceiving today. Would you agree with that? See, manipulation is always to benefit, but the stone that is rolled will roll back again. Let's go further. Look at 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. Watching your time. I do not want to manipulate your lunch hour, all right? You say, why? Because I want to have my lunch, amen? I don't want the stone rolling back on me. First Kings, stay with me now. First Kings. Isn't coming to church wonderful? Come on now. Hey, we come to grow, we come to learn, we come to apply. Number one, I don't want to be a manipulator. Number two, I do not want to be manipulated. Number three, I want to protect others that they're not manipulated. Look, if you would, stay with me. Look at 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. Watch, don't miss it, please. Verse 28. Verse 28. And the man who, say it, everybody. Verse 28, you're right, that's the right name. Verse 1 Kings 11, 21. Everybody talk to me. And the man who, say it? Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon, seeing the young man that he was industrious, he made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. Now, you know what? This man, Jeroboam, he was first of all trusted. But look at verse 40. Verse 40. Solomon, that is the one who set Jeroboam up. And the Bible says Solomon sought therefore to kill Jeroboam. Why? Something happened. What was Jeroboam going to do? Look at chapter 12. Chapter 12. And watch now. Don't miss this, please. Chapter 12. First of all, Solomon saw the young man Jeroboam. He saw him in industrious. He set him over a ruler. He set him to be ruler. But in by verse 40, he was wanting to kill him. Look at 1 Kings chapter 12. Notice verse 26. Verse 26. And Jeroboam said in, underline the next two words. Say it. His heart. Say it again. What? His heart. So Jeroboam's heart, in his own heart, he says, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. So now he's going to reason this out and figure this out. And he's being threatened now that what was his at one time is now going to go back over to the house of David. So he starts in his own mind to plot a plan and a scheme. Verse 28. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold. And said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy little g gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Brethren, that's like the golden calf that Aaron made. He knew they would respond to that calf because it was already a false religion. So he sets up this false religion, one devised out of his own heart to manipulate the people away from God. Let me say it again. He sets up these two gods devised out of his own heart, and he sets up a Jeroboam religion to pull the people away from their true worship. Verse 29. And he set the one in Bethel, and he put the other, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even in the Dan. And he made a house of high places and made priests of the lowest of the people. He begins to mimic, if you would, to model after. It's a half-truth. He's going to have priests that looks like priests. In verse 32, he's going to have a feast in the eighth month on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. Look what it says. Like unto the feast that is in Judah. Like unto the feast that's in Judah. That's a half-truth. That's something created to me, an image that something's okay, but it's a lie. So he sets these calves up. He sets the priests up. Look at verse 33. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel, the 15th day of the eighth month, watch, even in the months which he had devised, he had what? Say it again. Devised. Wait a minute. Don't miss that word. He had what? Say it. Devised. Of his own heart. It was his own device. It was his own evil imagination. It was what he had created in his heart. He ordained the feast. He ordained the altar. He had him burn incense. But it was all devised in his own heart. Don't miss the word devised, and don't miss that it came out of his heart, because manipulation always is devised in the heart. It's selfish. Manipulation is always devised in the heart of someone that's selfish. Manipulation is always devised in the heart of someone who is selfish. Look at Proverbs chapter 16. Come on, Proverbs 16. We're all right. Proverbs 16. You may see it in the workplace. You may see it in your neighborhood. You may see it in your extended family, or you may see it somewhere in Christianity. Proverbs 16. Devised in his own heart. Everybody still all right? Come on, we all right? Watch Proverbs 16. Stay right with me. Look at verse 25. There is a way, a direction, a path. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. But the end thereof are the ways of what? Death. Look at verse 9. A man's heart, what's that word? Deviseth his way. But the Lord directed the step. Wait a minute, though. It does say a man's heart will devise his way, and if he's not careful, and if he doesn't let the Lord direct his steps, his heart will devise a way that seemeth right. It seemeth right to him because it's self-serving. Look at Proverbs chapter 12. Come on, Proverbs 12. I'll make this practical in just a moment. Proverbs 12. So there's a way that a man devises in his heart that seems right. And if he doesn't let the Lord in on it to show him the error of his way, it'll lead to death. Look at Proverbs 12, verse 15. The what? Say it. The way. Proverbs 12, 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. And someone that does not hearken to counsel, but he that hearkens to counsel is wise. Someone does not hearken to counsel. Someone that doesn't seek counsel. It's a way that seemeth right, but he's devised it in his own heart. And because everybody's afraid to say something to him, because they're afraid to correct him, it's right in his own eyes, and he won't receive any correction. But it doesn't stop there. Look at Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19. You say, man, you're being strong about this. Proverbs chapter 19. In Proverbs chapter 19, there's a little statement in verse 21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Therefore, what we've got to be careful about is not following the wrong device. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Brother, every time you see this thing about the heart and the devices and the way, you'll see a counterpart to say, but you better go ask the Lord. You better go seek the Lord's counsel. There are many devices in a man's heart. Wait a minute, look at chapter 21. Chapter 21. Look at verse 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth whithersoever he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. But the Lord pondereth the hearts. Brethren, out of our hearts, if we're not careful, can come a devised plan and plot that will benefit us, but it may not be the Lord's way. That's why it's good to stay in church. That's why it's good to be in the Bible. That's why it's good to seek godly counsel. That's why it's good not to have everybody around you surrounded with just yes people who just say yes, 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 and are threatened by us. If everybody around us is threatened by us and they're afraid to say anything, then what we devise in our heart may be wrong, and when we go the wrong way, everybody follows us. Therefore, we better be careful who we follow. They followed Jeroboam's sin for generation after generation after generation and got in trouble with God. And he devised that of his own heart for his own self. So did Charles Taz Russell. You say, who's he? He devised out of his own heart the Jehovah's Witnesses movement. And he manipulated. Go study it. You say, I know some good people. I didn't say they weren't good people. I'm saying they're following the wrong path. Somebody dreamed that up out of his own heart, and it does not honor God at all. Every time somebody found out something about it, they changed it. And they've been changing it for years. Hey, it was formed in 1922. Find out about it. They say Jesus is a God. They don't say Jesus is God. That's blasphemy. So if a person follows what they teach and believe, he will not be saved.
look up here. I'm not trying to belittle anybody. You say, I know somebody's a good person. I'm saying to you, if they follow that man-made Jeroboam religion devised of his own heart, they will not get saved. Joseph Smith devised something of his own heart. It's called Mormonism. You say, I don't think you ought to put other people down. Look up here, I'm not putting anybody down. I'm saying it's a wrong doctrinal belief that will lead to destruction. It's a works salvation. They say, oh, you believe in the blood of Christ. Look up here. Oh, you believe in the blood of Christ. Oh, you believe in faith. But they say, if you don't keep working, you don't keep it. That's not godly. That's not the book. You say, but I know somebody that's a good person. I didn't say anything about that. But they have morals and decency, and they really believe what they believe. Look up here. They believed the calves for years and years and years and years. But it was devised out of a man's heart, and he was controlled and manipulated by Satan, and it was satanic. There was a man named Constantine. And out of his own heart, he devised a religion. It's called Roman Catholicism. I'm not putting anybody down. I'm saying it's a devised religion that's man-made that is not after God. Mary was never created to be worshipped and prayed to. You say, don't they believe in Jesus? They certainly do. Don't they believe in His death and burial and resurrection? They certainly do. But they add stuff to it. Come on, is that right? Yes or no? And some of you used to be Roman Catholics, and you did it just right down the trail. Everything they told you to do, everything they said to do, and you did it all, and there was something missing inside because you never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. And once you looked through that manipulation, and your heart convicted you, and you received Christ, you're now saved, 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 saved. And you want to go say, don't follow that man-made religion, follow the true God. And should we keep our mouths shut while people die and go to hell just so we don't offend them? And shall we go to Muhammad? And shall we go to Buddha? If you're in here today, and right now you're saying, I grew up in that stuff, but something's not right with it. I went through all that. I never heard anything like this before. But in your heart, something's saying, you were manipulated. You were programmed. You say, but that was my daddy's and mama's religion. I'm not putting your daddy and mama down. But something's not right, is it? I'm telling you something. All those who used to be in man-made religions that now are saved by the true and living God, would you raise your hand? Hold them up. Hold them up so somebody else around you can say it. Hold them up. Isn't it good to know the truth? And the truth shall set you free. You say, well, how do I know you're not manipulated? Why don't you trust the true and living God by faith and let Him regenerate you, and you'll be in here shouting too. Okay, maybe you won't be shouting, but in your heart you'll be saying, tell the truth, tell the truth, tell the truth. Because what Satan does is he devises ways to manipulate people away from God. If one doesn't work, he'll use something else. If that doesn't use, he'll use this. If that doesn't work, he'll use it. This New Age stuff. Come on. I mean, we could just go on and on and on. Well, does that mean you're right and everybody else is wrong? Look up here. It means this book is right. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with this book. It's not my opinion. It's this book's opinion. And we believe the book, and when we believe the book, we started seeing through all the rest of that manipulation. Amen. It's self-serving. Who does it serve? Ultimately, Satan. He shall not surely die.
You don't know how much we would love for somebody in here hearing this for the first time. You're not becoming a Baptist. You're not becoming like, am I going to get hooked into your church? That has nothing to do with what we're talking about here. We just want your name to be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. We just want you to have your place in heaven. We just want your God who created you to be glorified by your believing and trust in Him. That's what we want for you. And we want you to have a regenerated mind that understands God's purpose and plan for your life so He can direct your paths right to where He wants them to go, which ultimately ends up in heaven. That's what we want. And then for those of us who are Christians, I don't want there to be any pressure in this church like Ahab had in his kingdom. You see, behind Ahab was Jezebel. And everybody feared her. Why? She killed the prophets of God. He killed Naboth. You don't go against Jezebel. And therefore, when Ahab proclaimed it, all those prophets came out and said, go up, go up, go up, go up, go up. And one of them come out and said, go up. And Ahab said, tell me the truth. What is the word of God? And he said, you go up, you'll die. See? See, he never tells me what I want to hear. Go put him in prison. That's oppression. And so they go up, and the manipulator says, you wear the king's garment, and I'll disguise myself. Why do you think he did that? Self-preservation. But God didn't let him get away with it. Somebody just said, I got one arrow, I better just shoot the... And it found him. And he sunk down. And his son, who was partakers, his son was partaking of his mother and father's sins and did it their way. Jehu come up and said, your mother the whore? Your mother the witch? We're not going there anymore. We're done with that. God sent me. And he drew his arrow back, and it went straight and true, and he sunk down, and they put him in the field that Jezebel had got for her husband by deceitful manipulation. So for Christians, we better be careful who influences us. We better be careful to find out what their motives are. Look up here. How can you tell if somebody's manipulating you? Look up here. They will tell you, don't talk to anybody else. They will say, don't seek anybody else's counsel. And they will bolster it up probably with what's in this book. But you can twist this book around. Satan did. But they'll make sure they say, you don't have to ask anybody. The Bible says if we're going to look at our ways, we have to seek counsel. In a multitude of counselors, there's safety. Well, I'd be careful who I'd ask. But I wouldn't make big decisions if somebody's surrounding me and sequestering me from talking to anybody else. Something in my heart would go, something's wrong here. Something's wrong here. It's almost like, why don't they want me to go talk to anybody else? sometimes it's better just to stop and leave it there. Although there's more. Part two will be coming. Not tonight. Something else tonight. Part two will be coming. Now, everything I've said to you is Bible. So we need to look at ourselves and say, number one, I don't want to be manipulated with my eternal destiny. I want genuine salvation. Look up here. We get manipulated, look up here, in our minds and in our emotions. We don't want an emotional salvation. We don't want a manipulated salvation. Hey, I believe prayer is what saves someone. And it's a simple prayer. But not because someone said to us, just pray this prayer and that will be it. It could happen that way. When you lead somebody to Christ, you do say, now pray this prayer. And if you do that from your heart, and you confess it from your heart, and there's repentance in your heart, then God's the one who saves you. Would you agree with that? I believe it's that simple. Look up here again. I believe it's that easy for us. Jesus Christ did all the hard work. It can be that simple. But I can't tell what you did in your heart. Only you can. So number one, let's look at our salvation. Number two, let's look to make sure that nobody's manipulating us. Number three, let's look to make sure that we're not manipulating anybody else. And number four, let's watch those around us that we love. Every once in a while, someone will slip in. We won't see it. It'll happen to you in your lifetime. But we learn from it. And then we get up and get going again. With our heads bowed. If you've been used, if you've been worked, or you've been manipulated, why don't you forgive yourself and go on? Let me say it again. If you've been worked or used or manipulated, why don't you forgive yourself and go on? Let me say that again. If you've been worked or used or manipulated, why don't you forgive yourself and go on? Maybe part of that forgiveness is forgiving the one that manipulated you. If you've never received Christ as Savior, you don't now know for sure, and something in your heart says, wow, you better check this all out. Would you allow me to pray for you? Please, would you allow me to pray for you? You know, I'm not sure if I've trusted Christ in truth as Savior. And I'm not trying to talk anybody out of their salvation. But if there's something in you that says something's just not right, is there anybody else here that I could ask? Is there one, not of the 400, is there one left that I could ask? Something's not right here. Then let me pray for you. If you're that person kind of in question this morning, without anybody making fun of you, embarrassing you, but so I could pray for you. And do me that privilege, if you would. It's an honor for me to be able to do that. Would you just slip up your hand and say, pray for me. I'm just not sure. I don't know. I'm not saying someone tried to do it, but I'm just not sure where I was when I did it for sure. And as far as in my heart and in my... And pray for me. Slip up your hand and say, that's me. Good. Someone else. Be honest. Be honest with yourself. Look into your own heart. Yes. Someone else. We're not putting you down. You just saw the hands of how many. Father, please. Draw these unsure to yourself, please. May they look to Jesus. May they look and live. Lord, if there's someone in here that years ago or months ago, Lord, or last week, Father, was manipulated, may they see it. May they forgive themselves. May they forgive the manipulator. But may they get on the right path. Father, if we're about ready to be led astray, would you help us to see it? May we, Lord, not be someone that would cause the oppression around us to where we can't grow. May we not be manipulators. Influencers, yes. Counselors, Father, yes. But not for our own self-gain. Please. May we not fall into that category. Please. Search our hearts. Try the reins of our hearts. Help us not to follow that which our heart divides us, which is wouldn't be right. Help us to follow that which you guide and direct in our lives. Please. Father, I just ask you right now, please, may thy Holy Spirit teach and guide and direct and tutor. Individually teach. May somebody go out here this morning different. By you, Lord, by you, by your Spirit, than how they walked in. Please, I beg of you, do your work with your word. May your message do the work. We have what we call an old-fashioned altar call. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, they had altars. They had places where they met with God. Out on the ground, in the rocks, in the dirt. On the side of a mountain, in homes, in tents. Here at this church, we just use the front as an old-fashioned altar. If you raised your hand for salvation, we'd love to have someone take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you know somebody that's been manipulated, maybe you ought to pray for them this morning. If you've ever been and you're still having a hard time getting over it, maybe God would really...